Oh, so good morning. It's quite lovely to have two chant leaders instead of one, don't you think? Looking at one another like, who's going? Yeah, that's what I love about this community. And is, you know, we're always kind of making a little mistake here or there, and then we just go right on. And that's really the point of our lives, isn't it? To go right on. You slip a little bit, and then maybe you move in a slightly different direction. So our male chant leader kind of quieted his voice down so that the female chant leader didn't hear the male one, could do the leading. And that's kind of the way we go. And here we are at this kind of interesting time of year. Have you noticed how the light just slants a little differently? You notice it a little bit more in the autumn, the shift. The leaves haven't quite yet started falling, but even the ones that are green are yellower green. Not that early spring bright green, but a softer kind of yellowish green. And I think that softness pervades the season of autumn. It's a time when I think our hearts kind of sober up a little bit after summer. Time to get serious, and in this society, to go back to school. No matter how old we are, when this time of year comes around, there's something in us that needs to study again and get serious about something, right? Dig in. It's also a time to think about how we're living our lives, how we conduct ourselves, how we are internally with ourselves and with everybody else that we come into contact with. So it is a time to look deeply at ourselves. And as many of you know, in the Jewish tradition, this is a time of atonement. Before enjoying the fruits and harvest of the summer, we take a time to atone. And as you know, probably, yesterday was Yom Kippur. A full day and night of fasting and prayer and atonement. I said to Sensei that I used to go every year with a friend of mine, and she's just recently passed, down to the Hudson and to throw our peccadilloes, our sins, into the river so we could start anew. One thing I wanted to talk about is this idea of fasting, because during Yom Kippur, traditionally, there is a long fast. And of course, we have it in many traditions. This idea of refraining from food and drink, intimate relationships, for a certain period of time, for what we call spiritual purposes, which is different from when we go on these diets, these cleansing diets, different intention. Maybe you could meld them together, but pretty much we're talking about a different intention. The Hindu Baha'i traditions also fast. Native American traditions, several days of fasting in order to see clearly. Even in some Protestant traditions, there is that idea of fasting. And it's a kind of a ritualistic but physically oriented way to really look at our craving. our constant reaching for something. It's kind of like not being able to be adequate to ourselves just as we are, but constantly bringing something else in. So it's a time to remember that we don't have to automatically react to each and every desirous moment. We remember that we do, in fact, have self-control. And we create a space of calm in our body. I remember as a young girl the lightheadedness I felt before Mass on Sundays. We didn't eat from overnight till after Mass when we took communion in the morning. And I remember that changed state of mind, of mind and body, that lent a special sense of this is a special day. This is a special moment. This is a special morning. It's not like all the other mornings. It's just like this. The discomfort there was somehow important. It made me feel as if I was different than the rest of the time, that I was prepared for some kind of a spiritual experience. The great Sufi poet Rumi wrote about fasting in a beautiful way, so I hope you'll bear with me while I read to you what he said. There's a hidden sweetness in the stomach's emptiness. We are lutes, no more nor less. If the soundbox is stuffed with anything, there's no music. If the brain and belly are burning clean with fasting, every moment a new song comes out of the fire. The fog clears and new energy makes you run up the steps in front of you, be emptier and cry like a reed. Emptier, write secrets with your reed pen. When you're full of food and drink, Satan sits where your spirit should, an ugly metal statue in place of the Kaaba. When you fast, good habits gather like friends who want to help. I love that line. Good friends gather. Good habits gather like friends who want to help. I love that line because it reminds me of what happens when we sit zazen and we fast from our thoughts. And we develop the habit of being in this moment, in this presence, in this body. And that is a habit that gathers around us, as Rumi says, like friends who want to help. He also goes on and says, fasting is Solomon's ring. Don't give it to some illusion and lose your power. But even if you've lost all your will and control, come back when you fast. Like soldiers appearing out of the ground, pennants flying above them. A table descends to your tents. Expect to see it when you fast, this table, spread with other food, better than the broth of cabbages. It's, for me, this wonderful verse that Rumi wrote is truly about the practice of stopping and seeing that we can do every day in each moment. Stop and see. You know, you're in the elevator and everybody pulls out their phone, right? Maybe not. Maybe just this one time, not the distraction, huh? Staying in a moment, right where you are. That's a kind of fasting. Huh? So there's a difference between fasting because we think we ought to fast from anything, and true fasting, true intention to stop and see where we are. in the Yom Kippur service, Isaiah's verse is read, where he speaks of true fasting. He says, "Is this the fast that I desire, for you to starve your bodies? No. This is the fast I desire, to separate yourself from wrongdoing, to share your bread with the hungry, and to take the poor and desperate into your home. When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to ignore the suffering." True fasting is different from our idea of ritual fasting. An embodiment in Isaiah, I think, very much of being one with all that is, being one with the homeless person, being one with the one without clothing, with the one that is hungry. To separate ourselves from our wrongdoing and enter into our interdependence. That's what Isaiah is pointing to in this. So we take time in this Zen tradition to stop and fast from that ordinary, automatic way of behaving and look carefully at our conduct, how we treat ourselves, how we speak to ourselves, how we take care of our own hungers, and how we move outward from that to those around us, our loved ones, our community, the people on the street. How we do that, not in an automatic way. So today I think of the suffering in Syria that we're all reading about now. The suffering in the jails and prisons in this country. None of us are in jail right now. But there are so many that are. And the homeless shelters here in this town, not so far away, a block away, the Bowery Mission. And then to look at what's happening to our oceans, what's happening to our mountains and rivers. We're responsible for that. Not automatically harm, but rather be aware, fast from that automaticity. Keep oneself alive. So the physical fasting that we do sometimes, or in many traditions, actually there's not so much of it in the Zen tradition. But there is, when we come in here and we sit down and we turn to face the wall, we promise ourselves that we're going to fast from that automatic, unconscious, irresponsible, self-involved state of mind. And we're going to find another, deeper, more resonant part of ourselves that is here all the time. So in the Chinese tradition, there's always been fasting. And there was a great Taoist sage, Chuang Tzu, who told a lot of stories, and one of his stories was about fasting. He talked about a meeting between Confucius and a young student by the name of Yan Hui. Yan Hui asked Confucius, "What strategy can I take so that I can do good in the world?" Confucius answered, fasting. Yen Hui said, I'm poor and I eat no meat and I eat no wine. Isn't that fasting? Confucius said, oh, that's just ritual fasting. That's not the mind's fasting. Or I might, since I know just a little bit, it's probably, that's not the heart's fasting. That translation. May I ask, says Yen Hui, what is the heart's fast? And Confucius says, center your attention. Stop listening with your ears and listen with your heart. Then stop listening with your heart and listen with your original self. Hearing is limited to the ear. Heart is limited to tallying things up. But the primal spirit is empty. It is simply that which awaits things. Tao is emptiness merged, and emptiness is the heart's fast. What do you think he's saying here? Listen with your original self. Go that deeply. Not what you think you oughta, but deeper than that. So you don't have to ask yourself, what is it? It's present, deeply and purely. The Faith Mind Sutra, a few hundred years later, said, to put your trust in your heart-mind is to live without separation, and in this non-duality, you are one with your life source. Your original self, your life source, what truly is. That's what we do here. Every morning, every evening, come in. It's not fancy. Come and you face the wall and have an opportunity to open that door and to drop into that original self. Without separating from your own suffering and that of others. And of course, this means to really be where you are and not deny what you see and what you feel. It is a way to bring yourself back home, back into balance. How do we do that over and over again? In English, you know, the word Yom Kippur means the Day of Atonement. And that's the same word that we use in our Zen Buddhist atonement ceremony that we do every month. The verse of atonement. All evil karma ever committed by me since of old, because of my beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance, born of my body, mouth, and thought, now I atone for it all. Now I at one with it all. How can we be joyful and alive and also at the same time admit our own transgressions, our personal faults, and our mistakes? It's uncomfortable. It's not easy. We'd much rather explain or deny or wallow in our mistakes, our faults, and our transgressions. But to truly atone is different. It's to take in what one has done as one's own karma one's own actually inevitable karma, one's own shortcomings. And give ourselves back to the world, give ourselves back to ourselves, so that we can create new karma. Unless we atone for the old karma, we cannot create new karma, wholesome karma that supports the world. I'm very thankful for the annual celebration of Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement, and for the Jews that have taught me to really use this ceremony in a powerful way for my own practice. Right now, at this time in my life, I'm atoning for some mistakes that I've made. And I have a deep regret for not having hewed to what I know is true. And so, in the past few months, I've had to come to terms with my own pride and ambition. How I've been willing to look the other way when I thought a project was worth it, worth looking the other way. Yet my conscience wouldn't let me continue. And I fasted and I stopped. And now with you, I'm atoning. And in that atonement, as for each and every one of us, we turn the wheel of karma. We make new our lives. We make new possibility. To atone is to look squarely at what you've done and to not separate by rationalizing or excusing, to look directly at the troublesome activity, to own it, and then to let it go, to turn it into what needs to be done now, and to offer oneself again. After fasting, we eat. Rabbi Waskow, one of my favorite progressive rabbis, always reminds us in his sermons every year that the last thing you do on Yom Kippur is to begin to build the hookah for the Sukkot, the big ceremony it's kind of like Thanksgiving, a harvest ceremony that comes just like a week later. But the first thing you do after all of this fasting and atoning and you're sitting and there's tears all over your robes, then you get up and you begin to prepare for a big party. Joyful appreciation of the world's gifts. Joyful. So let me offer you a concluding gatha on this, the day after Yom Kippur, the day we will begin to prepare and appreciate the harvest of this year. To be at one is as simple as the morning sun. To be intimate is as easy as letting go. It just takes a second, and everything is new and fresh. Please do it now.